This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
7:43, I'm Howard Feldman. A very, very good morning to you. This morning's Israel Report brought to you by Eli Piept. He is the Director of International Affairs for Israel's Defense and Security Forum. A very good morning to you. Hope you are well.
Good morning. I am well indeed. Thank you very much.
Great, great pleasure. So let's start with some of Donald Trump's big statements. Like, I worry because whenever we hear the bigger the statement, the bigger the reversal often. And, you know, I'm going to bomb them. I'm going to do this. And then there's an MOU. So, but it has been ramping up. Where are we? What does this all mean?
You know, it's a great question, and I think that one of President Trump's approaches has been to change the conventional wisdom when it came to how to communicate about wars. You know, since the Cold War, there always was an assumption that you wanted to be very, very clear with both your allies as well as your enemies, so that there won't potentially be a mistake. And the U.S. and the Soviet Union famously had a red line to make sure there wouldn't be something that might escalate and lead to a World War III and nuclear annihilation. President Trump has understood, and I think he's seen, as a lot of smaller, weaker countries consistently provide misinformation. They make outrageous claims about their abilities, what they've done, what they haven't done, and there's no consequence. Primarily because those leaders function without any kind of accountability in the press.
In a way, it's branding.
Yeah, yeah.
A certain company can get away with a certain style or a political party. Somebody else says it and everybody jumps. We've been schooled to expect this from the Iranians, for example.
Exactly. The Iranians, we think of the Iraqis in the Gulf War, talking about how, you know, they're about to conquer the Allied force. And, you know, in the West, we laugh about it. But it's a strategy that they have used and they've employed. Frankly, even Russia has been using some of that in their claims against Ukraine. And despite the fact that in the West, we see and we expect that Russia has suffered tremendous losses, that doesn't appear to be impacting their government and their leadership at all in their calculations. I think when it comes to President Trump, there has to be at some point an assessment that at this point, a lot of the conventional wisdom about Trump has been wrong. And let me just go through a couple of those. I mean, first, it was the idea that he was never going to attack Iran directly. Then last June when he did Midnight Hammer, well, it was just 2 days of an aerial attack. He claimed victory. It was over. It wasn't a real victory. He just did a couple of days and that's it. Then Epic Fury began last end of February. And immediately the claims were Trump needs an exit ramp. Well, that went on for 5 weeks or so. Eventually, there was an MOU, which was definitely seemed as being weak. However, Trump didn't view the MOU as the end of the war, as the conventional wisdom always suggested, that Trump needs to be done and move on. Trump had the MOU, and for him, this was part of the war, part of the strategy. If he gets what he wants, great. And if he doesn't, he will do exactly what his enemies do.
Then he has legitimacy after that, because he certainly tried it.
Exactly. And he's saying the same thing now. And I think one of the reasons why there is a sense, and this week there seemed to be shuttle diplomacy with the president of or the prime minister of Iraq, which is not someone that you would necessarily see as a diplomatic, somebody conveying messages. What it seems like the reason why Iran can't accept it is because President Trump understands that the MOU that he signed back in April, is the base, and it needs to be significantly better. Whether it's because he's heard from his allies, whether he's heard from the media,
and he's seen Iran's behavior.
Yeah, he's seen Iran. All that combined, it's going to be significantly more. And therefore, that is why Trump over the last, why over the last 13 days there have been significant attacks against something was seen as outrageous. After the MOU, he's not going to start again. Why would he start again? He will try to make it seem that his MOU resolved everything. And President Trump is very comfortable saying one thing one day, moving on to something else, but he has an overall strategy. I think when it comes, and that's my sense, it comes to Israel and the attacks and the discussion, the dialogue about what may happen with Israel, there definitely seems like there is a sense that the 13 days that the U.S. has been attacking at night has not been huge, but it's been strategic, and that it may lead to something much more than that. It seems that one of the reasons why Israel isn't involved is partially because Iran doesn't want to engage Israel, but also the U.S. is working diplomacy at the same time with a lot of Gulf countries. They are the ones who are on the receiving end. If Israel is involved, it's a little bit harder for those countries, at least publicly, not to lash out against Israel. It's easier right now for almost everyone involved for it to be really a U.S.-Iran engagement. Israel obviously has some capabilities. Israel's willing to take risks that I believe the U.S. will not. And it does seem like that if we're going to go to the next level, that the Israel may be involved, and Israel is making it clear that one of the results of October 7th is that we don't wait to be attacked. It seems like right now Iran is not going to be surprised. Israel has managed to surprise.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, because I've seen for the first time there's this rhetoric from Iran talking about Tel Aviv. We haven't seen that since this particular episode. I don't know how else to put it, the U.S. and Iran with Israel keeping a very, very close eye. So we've seen rhetoric from Iran talking about Tel Aviv. We've seen bomb shelters being opened across municipal bomb shelters across Israel. We've seen some communication to hospitals. There's definitely this holding of breath feeling ahead of a weekend, which is often when these things take place. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I think that part of it certainly is that there is a possibility, and you can't rule anything out. Mm. But there also is the sense that Iran is trying to, again, separate those Gulf countries from the U.S. And if they could make this a conflict not just between Iran and the U.S., but it is Iran and the U.S. and Israel, those countries which are getting, frankly, pummeled.
Well, that's why I just want you to explain that to me more. How do they do that, given that they have attacked Bahrain, the UAE, Kuwait, Jordan? They've been relentless.
What Iran is suggesting is that the only reason why we're attacking those countries is because we're really attacking the American bases on those countries. And that if Bahrain, if Jordan, if Kuwait would move and kick out the U.S., which I would say at this point, when this is all over, there's not a bad chance that many of the countries will say the U.S. is not going to be here forever. They're not going to be as engaging. Regardless of those countries' attitude towards Israel,
right?
The U.S., if you imagine a post-Trump environment, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, there's very few political leaders who they could ever imagine being as engaged as the U.S. is right now. And they probably, and even with Trump, they have not been so successful at defending themselves. Is it really worthwhile to have a U.S. presence on our base, which is uncomfortable for probably those own countries' citizens, and certainly is uncomfortable, makes them a target of Iran? Now that Iran has set things in those ways and they haven't really demonstrated an ability to fight back effectively. Listen, if all those countries would be aggressively fighting back against Iran, but they don't think they trust the U.S. is going to be here for the long term. It's part of that attitude. And if they did want to go in and try to effect a regime change, I think there would be a real network or coalition that can do so. The question is whether they want to have Israel as part of that. And I think this is all part. Is this happening a little bit too fast? These are countries that usually do not make decisions overnight. And the idea that they could imagine a coalition that is the U.S., Israel, Bahrain, Kuwait, UAE. Yes, UAE probably could.
Yes, Bahrain and UAE, yes. But Saudi,
Kuwait,
maybe
Jordan. It's going to be hard for them to imagine they could actually go and try to affect regime change. And what will lead to regime change? Very hard to know.
Why do you think it is that in the last episode, the last MOU, we had, I think it was Pakistan, very, very involved in it? Why is that now no longer they are no longer the mediators or moderators, but now it's moved to Iraq, which in many parts is really just an Iranian province at this stage, from what I understand.
Yeah. Fair question. I wouldn't say that Iraq nearly has the same clout. I think right now they just literally conveyed a message. I don't think they will be involved in much more than that. I do feel like that the MOU has initially, there was a sense that, when the MOU was signed, it showed that Rubio was out. He maybe have had a little objections, and that
Rubio,
yes, Marco Rubio
was put to the side and Vance took in. Okay, got it.
Exactly. And the Vance and the Kushner and the Witkoff. Mm. And what people didn't say, it's also Pakistan. And I think Pakistan sort of also pushed for this MOU way in this way. Mm-hmm. And I think as Trump looks at how that has played out over the last month or so, he's looked at it and says, this didn't really work out. It didn't present American strength. American power. This is being perceived worldwide as weakness. We need to now rectify that. Pakistan is probably not the best conduit for that. And now he seems to be taking what, at least from a distance, is more of the Rubio approach. That's more of a strength approach. Let's do a measured tactical attacks. 13 days, it might expand to more than that once they get to the point, whatever their goals are. And it seemed like right now, Witkoff and Kushner maybe are on the outside, and that would be Pakistan as well. I'm not sure. Pakistan might recalibrate, understand that they have a lot to gain by being the conduit for an agreement, and particularly if they see how focused and how resolute the U.S. is in getting a better resolution, maybe they don't want to make their friendship so much with Iran and move more to the U.S. So I could see Pakistan trying to position themselves more on the U.S. side. But also, I see Trump may saying, hey, this may not be the right best conduit for us. They failed me the first go around. I'm not sure if I want to give them a second chance. It remains to be seen. Mm.
It's a question that keeps bothering me, and I've asked a number of people about this, is I always jokingly say that if the U.S. or anybody had to attack South Africa's military targets, it would be over in 15 minutes, let alone 13 nights of hours and hours of bombing. And that's aside from the first round where Israel were involved, that was also incredibly extensive. How deep in terms of infrastructure and sites, targets, how deep a pocket does Iran have? Because it's quite astounding to think about the damage that must have been done, and yet they still continue.
Yeah. And I'll also say there's talk about maybe the U.S. starting to run out of some interceptors that may be okay. Think about the size of the U.S., the capabilities of the U.S. military. And yet Iran still seems like it has some abilities. Think about how much they have invested in their military infrastructure over the years. They take all of this beating, yet they still have offensive weapons. They still continue to build that out. That also is something that is worth considering, and is not because there is no free press, there is no opposition in Iran, you don't hear any frustration. I think that there is, I think even those leaks about the discussions, the concerns within the U.S., that may be strategic in order to make people think that the U.S. is not as into it as long-term as they actually are. But I think it is worth noting what Iran's capabilities are, the fact that Iran is still serious. And I think it's also worth noting is that discussion over the last week seemed like there's fresh friction between the U.S. and Russia, because it seems that the U.S. is accusing both the Russians and the Chinese helping Iran with targeting. It does seem like there's a question about whether Iran's missiles have adapted to some of the U.S. anti-missile array. that's allowed them to be effective. It is a question whether the U.S. system is just not doing as well. Is it just the Bahrainis and the Jordanians are not as effective as some others? I think there is definitely some questions about that. And I would say even when it comes to Israel, you know, Iran has shown effectiveness in their targeting in countries that are closer to Israel. There is a fear about what Iran might do and what Israel's abilities are. And certainly Israel's presenting themselves that there are there is some concern about that. And as opposed to in the past, when the Israel has attacked, Iran was not exactly ready for it.
Mm.
Now it's hard to imagine how Iran is not ready for an Israeli attack, and therefore...
But severely Israel's damaged, always, though, surely quite compromised.
Yeah, I agreed. Definitely severely compromised, and Israel has also... There's no reason to think that Israel also hasn't learned a lot from what they've achieved, and also have other capabilities that are not then... And many Israeli... personalities have expressed something similar that Iran also doesn't know what we have. Right. We have not shown our strongest stuff. And I think that's a fair. Israel has said that many times, and time again, they have been able to deliver on that threat. And I think that Iran also is fearful of that, which is one of the reasons why Iran is talking about it, hasn't done anything yet. And I think a lot of this is trying to create friction after the conflict between the U.S. and these Gulf countries. I think that ultimately is their goal for them. You know, they're trying to maintain control of the Strait of Hormuz. For that to happen, they do need to have some unified Arab support for that. And they want to show, hey, the U.S. is a problem. The U.S. is not going to protect you. You're better off removing the U.S. from the equation.
Right, right.
I think there will be some motivation on the American side to move their forces from there. I think whether it is most Republicans, say J.D. Vance and some others right now, I think on the Democratic side also, there will be a huge desire to move American forces out of the Middle East. So I think that is like, that's almost a foregone conclusion that this will be happening in the short term, and Iran will like to take credit for that.
So
they are pushing, that's, yeah.
In the 1 minute that we have left, give me a sense of, and obviously nobody knows, but give me a sense of what you think is going to happen in terms of Israel over the next few days.
I would imagine that Israel will join, I couldn't say if it's this weekend, but will be more active in this war in the next week or two. If I had to guess, I think it will be sometime next week that there will be, Israel will be actively involved in this war. I think if that would be the case, that would mean that both Israel and the U.S. would be much more aggressive. I would imagine that we will only find out afterwards that some of these other Gulf countries have been involved.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll be publicizing it now. But I think that this is going to be seen as yet another attempt to try to affect some sort of regime change, something consequential. And I think it will be different than what we saw in the 5 weeks of epic fury and a roaring lion. I think there'll be something different. I couldn't say what it is, but I don't think it'll be the exact same.
That is where we leave it. Eli Pieps, thank you for that incredible discussion. And let's see what happens. Wishing you a great weekend and a Shabbat Shalom. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem, 101.9 Chai FM.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.